Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone. I'm sorry, every time you say your name, I'm like,
what? Every time I say my stage name,
your stage name throws me for a loop.
I'd like to stay anonymous. If they want to search it up, they can find out my real name.
Right. Very easily, because you're tagged.
I know, I'm tagged on stuff. But, you know, it's just something that I started so the listeners know.
Yep.
That there was a period of time where I was working in corporate in the food industry, and I was talking trash about some of the, my experiences with these companies, and I didn't want them to hear it or know who I was. But now I'm just sticking to it.
I get it.
Who knows what tomorrow brings, you know what I'm saying?
One never knows, do one. So what are you experimenting in these days? You were doing something with crab cakes?
Well, that's just the dinner that I'm going to be making soon. I bought some reasonably priced crab meat. I think it's not lump, it's not claw, it's like, I don't know what it is. It doesn't say special, it just says, probably a mixture, which I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like the taste of claw, but I like the consistency of lump better.
I agree.
And so maybe a combination would be what's great for me, and it's also middle price range. So instead of, $27 a can, I think it was like $17 a can, something like
good.
That.
Good.
So the crab cakes I'm going to make, and I'm probably going to do it with curried cauliflower as a side dish. And we don't do a lot of carbs. So instead of breadcrumbs in the crab meat, in the crab cake, I'm going to just, and I used to, my old version of crab cakes, and I sometimes do this when I feel like I have the time or inclination, is to just saute a little bit of scallion and celery into, first.
Right.
I tend not to do garlic with crab cakes. I think if I did, it would be the tiniest amount.
I never do. I do onion and celery.
So I would saute a little celery and onion or scallion, but I have to say there's plenty of times where if I'm in a rush, I do tend to squeeze out some of the liquid from the crab meat. You don't necessarily have to, but I tend to push it out a little bit.
I do.
And then I mix it with an egg, some mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
And this, now we don't use real mayonnaise anymore. We use the vegan mayonnaise that Hellman's makes.
Right.
Little mayonnaise and maybe a little Old Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so mix that all together. Sometimes I add the sauteed celery and scallion. Sometimes I don't if I'm rushing.
Right.
And then what really helps is that when you get your mixture, so you mix in your egg and your mayonnaise or your vegan mayonnaise and your spices, I like to let it chill, because especially if you're not using breadcrumbs, that chilling step is very important. It just kind of binds it a little bit.
Even if I do use breadcrumbs, I usually throw them in the freezer for a little while.
Right. It's just easier whenever you're doing some kind of cake that's going to be fried. But
yep.
So instead of breadcrumbs on the outside, I just have not done this before, but I'm sure it'll be good. I ground up, I have about at least 2 quarts of black sesame seeds.
Okay.
And I want to use them up. So I decided to ground up some equal parts black sesame seeds and flax seeds. So before I put them into the oil, which I'm probably I try now to use peanut oil.
Right.
Safflower oil as opposed to canola or vegetable for health reasons. And then just coat it with the black sesame seeds and flax seeds, fry them up. You can do that ahead of time. You don't necessarily have to cook it through. Just get a little crisp on either side. Then when you're ready to eat, you throw them in the oven. And I happen to have in the freezer some Thai chili relish, which is really not, and I love this recipe, but it's not very authentic Thai at all.
Okay.
But it's Thai enough. And that is that the authentic Thai recipe would call for red serrano chilies or Thai bird chilies. Mm-hmm. And I just find that if you use the entire, if the base of this sauce is entirely the bird chilies or serrano.
Sounds really hot.
So hot.
Yeah.
So what I do is I cut up red pepper, mm-hmm. just regular sweet red pepper, and I put it in the Cuisinart, I puree it, and then in a pot, I add the pureed red pepper, pureed scallion, maybe a little bit of oil just to kind of get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then just simmer it down. And then at some point I add fish sauce, lime juice, maybe a little bit of honey.
That sounds good.
And then I add the hot stuff. So I either add hot, fresh peppers, or I might, if I'm just rushing, I might add some dried red pepper flakes.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I love it. It's a big go-to sauce for me for, you know, especially since I'm doing the low carb thing all the time.
Right.
And it freezes beautifully. So, right. You know, so that's my one, you know, I don't cook a lot these days since I'm not working as a chef. So
that sounds
maybe
delicious.
2 or 3 times a week, I try to make something decent as opposed to just turkey burgers or whatever.
Is Don low carb too?
Don is whatever I tell him to be.
Oh, okay.
So
I just think it's interesting because I, for the longest time, ate no carbs like you.
Right.
And I mean, you know, I've been doing Noom for probably, yeah. I guess it's almost 2 years or a year and a half. It's been a while, and it's sort of changed my way of thinking about carbs, because I eat carbs now. I mean, I eat limited carbs, but I do not shy away from a piece of bread. I don't shy away all of the, generally the pastas that I cook are whole wheat pasta, but I have never lost so much weight so easily in my life.
But don't you think, and I agree with you. I roughly understand the Noom platform because you've showed me what you do. I believe that's because Noom makes you so accountable for portions. So if you put
But it really doesn't. I mean, I put in, you know, it's not like I limit my portions at all. I really don't. I mean, I eat literally the same quantity of food that I used to eat. It's just maybe it's because I'm more regimented and I make sure I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because sometimes I wouldn't have breakfast or I'd just be picking for lunch. You know, that also I know is beneficial because you're keeping your metabolism working all day long.
Right.
But it's really interesting. You know, every time you say no carb, I think back to when I really didn't eat carbs and I missed carbs.
When I say no carb, I don't really mean that. I'm pretty rigid on that, but yeah. I don't promote that for everyone. I think that if you, and actually now that you're going into the Noom stuff, I'm reminded that I've been inspired again that I want to write this cookbook.
Right.
And it's based on there's a whole bunch of concepts that it envelops, but it's based on a 30 and 30 concept with fat and carbs.
Okay.
So 30 grams of fat is kind of plenty of fat. 30 grams of carbs is not very many carbs. But if you want to have a sandwich, you know, at one point during the day on this diet, you can.
Yeah.
But there's all your carbs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's just about controlling them, you know, and also using whole grain carbs instead of, or whole wheat pasta.
Exactly. That's exactly what this,
or, you know, so I wanted to maybe take a moment because I'm all inspired now. I'm doing videos now for the cookbook.
Yeah.
And I started with my crock pot video.
I saw it. I responded. Yeah.
Oh, right. You did.
It was good.
So I'm good. My next video is going to be like, even though it's the second video, I'm going to act like it's the first. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to talk about the premise of the book. So it's not only about, and I guess, can I do it right now? Or do we have time?
Yeah. Go for it.
So it's a 30 and 30, right? 30 grams of fat, 30 grams of carbs, not so much calorie counting. Although if I write the book, I'm going to give you the calories in a particular dish, but
right.
It's more about counting fat and carbs. And if you're used to eating, if there's certain things, like I know, you know, I eat pretty much the same thing every day for lunch, for breakfast and lunch. I mean, I just don't right. really deviate. Sometimes for dinner, that's when I add things. So in addition to the 30 and 30, it also incorporates a little bit of this idea that, you know, let's think about what you love. You know, I would talk to people being in the fitness industry for a long time. I just have to have my pasta.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand these diets because I have to have my pasta.
Right.
And so what I would say is, you know, for the most part, use up your carbs with your pasta.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, and just be strict with the other meals. Like, use them up, man. Indulge yourself every single day.
Absolutely.
With stuff you love. And then you can do it for the rest of your life. And then if you want to go out to dinner and you want to go crazy, you know, do it once in a while.
That's exactly what Noom is. That's, we're having pasta tonight.
Same. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely the same thing.
Or if your weakness is chocolate, you know, you could have, now chocolate and sweets are probably the worst thing you can do in any kind of
way. They're a waste.
What's that?
They're a waste. You know, it's a waste.
It's a waste.
Not that I don't do it, because I do it quite often. You know, I posted something the other day. It says, it's been figured out for every ounce of chocolate you eat, it takes 2 minutes off your life. And it's a joke. And I've done the math, and I died in 1543.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've definitely gone through periods of my life in a diet mode, like in weight loss mode,
right.
and had two nice little squares of chocolate every single day.
Oh, absolutely.
So it doesn't, but you know, a big piece of chocolate cake, a la mode. I mean, there's stuff that you can take that little indulgence and turn it into times 10, and you've blown your diet for the week.
Yeah. And actually you'd be surprised, because I've been doing it for quite some time, how satisfied you are with just a teeny little taste of something.
Teeny
so in that instance, you know, I am modifying my portion size, because I don't need to eat that whole piece of apple pie. Like, I could just have a fruitful or two for that, you know, for that time period. If I want to go for it, I go for it, but then I compensate in other areas, and it just becomes
right.
a natural
or,
thing.
You know, if I'm jonesing for a sandwich, like, sandwiches are my weakness. I love that, but I don't have them almost, you know, I almost never have them. But when I really want to have one, and I make a lot of grilled sandwiches for Dawn, and I put them in the freezer, like a Cubano or
right.
a grilled chicken with muhammara spread and mozzarella,
right?
And then I freeze them and he cooks them. If I really want to have that, if I'm jonesing, I just don't eat the whole thing. I just cut off like
exactly.
3 inches, and I say, you know what, this is my big splurge today, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm still staying within, you know, the calories. So it's not only, so it's a 30 and 30, it's identifying what you really love and how you can incorporate it in your life. Also talking about food psychology and, mm-hmm. you know, eating, imagine this, eating only when you're hungry, you know?
Right. Like, I know.
Or also addressing some weight issues that I've had, and I know many millions of women have had, with mm-hmm. being able to be in control of your weight very easily in a way. When
right.
I say easily, when you're in your 20s and you gain 5 pounds, all you do is, like, you know,
skip a meal.
Skip a meal and you lose it. Okay.
Exactly.
In your 30s, that doesn't work. Your 40s, it gets
your 50s.
Worse. In your 50s, it's even tougher. So it's just, you know, looking at that, and also how we view ourselves, because one of the reasons why I stopped being interested in writing this cookbook, because in my early 50s, late 40s to early 50s, I found that this diet wasn't working for me anymore.
Right.
And so I no longer felt like that fitness instructor that could come out with the just a jog bra on and show off my abs. Like, I don't do that anymore. I'm 25 pounds over what I'd like to be. And then I realized after taping the first segment, you know, it's really silly that I don't have to be this amazing specimen for people.
I think it's really liberating once you get to the point where you accept yourself and accept, you know, and indulge yourself. You know, this is it. Like, you know, do you want to spend your life suffering and being deprived of something? Like, that's why for me in particular, that program sort of got me back into feeling proud of how I look. I mean, not to mention that I lost a shitload of weight, but
You did. It definitely helps.
The psychology of it is an important aspect of it. And it, you know, it makes you not, you know, try to fit to some norm. Like, you want to be healthy in your skin. Everybody's different. Like, you can't hold yourself up to others, and which is hard, you know, now.
So another, we're about to run out of time. So another component to the book, and I'm not going to give away the title because it's a pretty good title. I don't want someone to steal it, but it's about healthy eating. It's about weight loss, and it's about cocktails. So it's trying to incorporate cocktails into your, if you're trying to lose weight, it's very difficult. But I think with the introduction of stevia, for example, all of a sudden I can offer an option that doesn't include aspartame, you know, with these diet drinks and stuff. And so you can have some really low carb cocktails. So that's all I'm going to say about the stupid
thing. All right. So when we come back, I made a really delicious cod franchise the other day. I'll talk about it a little bit. My sister said it was one of my best.
Nice.
All right, we'll be back in a minute.
We'll be back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
That little hand signal was, I'm so sick of seeing my face on Zoom calls.
Yeah, me too, man.
It's like, I feel like...
Oh, I know. You want to take your cheeks and like pull them back.
Oh my gosh. And I'm doing something different. Like everybody keeps talking about these ring lights that you need to have to make you look better on screens. You should see the apparatus I have going on over here with the light up on a thing on a...
No, you do. You look good. I'm certainly
more well lit. I mean, generally when we do these things, I don't even have the lights on half the time.
Well, we're not showing the video. When I do my physics classes, I have actually, because it's via Zoom. I'm doing the Zoom, but it's not Zoom, but it's like aerobic dance. But
right.
I have three spotlights now, like three.
You do.
Downstairs so that I can at least, there's still some shadow.
And your green screen?
I'm not green screening because
oh, you're not anymore?
By the green screen, it was too distorted.
So oh, I
just
it.
Do what I do now, and it's really so much better than when you used to take my class, uh-huh. is that the background, it's in our lower level, and there's a fireplace, which is dark, uh-huh. and there's a big giant black screen TV behind me. So I actually take white tablecloths and I drape them over that.
Oh, okay.
So because I tend to wear dark colors, mostly black,
right.
it just shows up a lot better. And I'm actually thinking about wearing a red glove so that when I'm about to change my moves, because sometimes people are looking at me 5 inches big.
Right. You have a hand. So your hand signals will be
red hand in the air. Yeah. Okay. We're changing. But anyway, I digress.
So I made, my sister was here. My sister eats mostly fish. She's sort of been a quasi vegetarian for, I don't think she'd mind my saying, 60 years. And I made a cod piccata the other day that was really delicious. And I used a different technique than I generally do. Generally I make flounder franchise.
Right.
Thin pieces of fish. I've done it with sea bass. I've done it with scallops. I've done it with shrimp. I do it with everything. I happen to love franchise, the presentation of franchise. So and for our eight. Listeners that don't know franchise, so when most of us bread things, we either egg and breadcrumb or egg and flour or dredge it in flour and then egg and yeah. breadcrumb. That technique is called anglaise. Franchise is the reverse. So it's flour and then the egg. So you get a nicer, lighter, crispier edge on it. And it's the egg on the outside.
Yes. And so this is a really good point. I mean, I've been doing mm-hmm. this for years too, but so it's the opposite of anglaise, and yeah. you do the flour first and then the egg. And how can you describe the difference in the texture?
The texture is just, you know, because you have the egg on the outside, it's a thinner, crispier layer. It's lighter.
I think it feels a little bit separated from the fish. Like,
oh,
you know what I mean?
I don't.
I don't know.
I mean, the egg, obviously the egg is, so it does feel a little bit lighter because there's that little, you know, dusting of flour in between. It's a much lighter preparation than how most Americans bread things.
Right.
Because in France, they do everything beautifully. So when I'm doing it with a small piece of fish or a thin piece of cut of fish, I generally always do it last minute, just a la minute, right before I'm going to sauce it and put it on a plate.
You have to though, right?
Well, you do, but this is my point. If you're doing it with, you don't have to. You can just, you know, the technique that I use is I pretty much do one side of the fish golden. Then I turn it over and I literally leave it for like 10 seconds and then take it out and put it on a sheet pan.
Right.
And then you can toss it in the oven and let it, you know, yeah. come up to temperature, and it'll finish cooking then.
Which is very key too, because a lot of recipes will not, and a lot of what we describe to people are things that you're not going to hear in recipes. If you do that first step, when you talk about doing a la minute, that means at the last, you know, minute,
right.
that you don't have to do it technically a la minute. A lot of restaurants, and you know this, they'll do that step and they undercook it.
Right, which is what my process is. I only cook one side, so I'm only coloring one side.
Right.
We do that in the restaurant for a lot of things. We do it
right.
for chicken breasts. We do it for searing steaks. You grill marks on steaks. You generally just cook one side. And then it goes upside down and it's pretty much raw still. And then you're going to finish it. You know, at that point you can refrigerate it, wrap it, freeze it, and then finish it at a later time or slash date.
But better to be finished within a couple of hours of, like, if I had
not
my
necessarily
brother.
No, because a lot of our catered events, we have, you know, we'll have grilled chicken or, you know, dishes that we'll just put grill marks on and then we'll be finishing it the next day. So it's not necessarily. So anyway, getting back to the fish, these were very thick pieces of cod. So again, I just colored one side of it, turned it over just for a quick minute, and then took it out, put it on a sheet pan, and let it get completely cold.
Right. Okay. This step is so imperative. Mm-hmm. People don't understand, especially even if you're dealing with cod, you have a thicker piece of fish.
Yep.
Don't cook it all the way through at this point. Because
well, if you're gonna serve it right then, you can. But this is, I mean, I'm talking, you know, I put it in the refrigerator and 8 hours later, I took it out, let it get to room temperature, and then I put it in the oven to heat.
Okay, can I just, I don't think you realize that these details people don't necessarily get. You could potentially do your searing in the morning.
Which is what I did.
Your saute.
Yeah.
Then you take that, you let it cool. It's not cooked all the way through. You put it in the refrigerator. And at the end of the day, what I would do, correct me if you do it differently, what I would do is take that fish out of the refrigerator, let it get to room temperature before I finish cooking it, right?
That's what I just said.
Well, you didn't totally say that. But
I grilled it in the morning. I took it out. I put it on the sheet pan. I let it get cold. I refrigerated it. And when we were having dinner at 7 o'clock, I took it out at 6, let it get to room temperature, and then popped it in the oven for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then it finished cooking. Exactly. And then the sauce is, I don't think a lot of people understand when you make a beurre manier or a sauce where you're sauteing some vegetable of some sort or making a reduction. When you're introducing butter into a sauce like that, it can't be hot. So I saute onions, and this is my Franchise sauce I've been making for a million years. I saute onion in a little bit of butter. I deglaze the pan because generally I'm using the pan that I have already sauteed the chicken or the fish or whatever I was sauteing earlier, browning earlier. A little bit of onion. I deglaze it with some vermouth. Put in lemon juice and a big handful of parsley. And the temperature of the parsley brings the temperature of the onion mixture down.
Right.
And then I leave it. I turn off the flame and I just leave it there for about 15, 20 minutes. And it's still warm, but it's not hot when I'm introducing butter to it. And I'm just whisking butter into, because then it's making an emulsification. It's not just melting the butter. It's making it creamy. It's emulsifying it.
So if it gets too hot, it's going to break.
If it gets too hot, it's just, it's completely going to break.
Right.
And that's it. That's this was particularly delicious, I think, because of the cod was really delicious, and it was about, the fillet was about 3 inches thick, so it was really big.
It was
a beautiful piece of cod, really thick, very flaky and moist on the inside, and with that sauce, it's just delicious.
Where'd you buy the cod?
There's a seafood market in Hamilton. Called the Shrimp King.
Okay.
I was passing by, and I know they have good, really beautiful seafood. It's one of my trusted seafood places. So I bought it there.
And do you remember how much a pound it was?
It was $11.99, which is pretty cheap.
Not bad. Not bad.
I know. So it was good. So that was interesting and a delicious meal. So I have... one of my high school friends on social media today was asking very interesting questions. So one of the questions, excuse my grandfather clock behind me. It's my It's literally my grandfather's clock.
Your grandfather's grandfather clock.
It's actually a mantel clock.
Okay.
And we always called it my grandfather's, but it was given to my grandmother by her mother. So it's sort of passed down to all the women in the family.
I didn't even hear it, by the way.
Oh, you didn't? Oh.
No.
It was blaring. So these are some pretty funny food-related questions.
Okay.
If you could make one vegetable against the law, which one would it be?
Against the law?
Yeah. It's just a funny question. If you could outlaw one vegetable, what would it be?
Okay. If I could outlaw one vegetable. All right. Give me a second here.
I'm not pressuring you.
Give me a second.
I have three very funny questions.
I need more time.
Okay. So we'll move on to question number two.
Okay.
If you had to eat a worm, how would you prepare it?
Deep fried.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I would say too. Like, it would have to have so much breading on it that I didn't realize what it was.
Yeah.
All right. And what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
The weirdest thing? I don't know. I haven't eaten a lot of weird things. Are you talking about like fried bugs and stuff like that?
Yeah. That would be my answer. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've never had that.
It could be anything. Could be an eyeball. Could be a...
No, never. Although I'm open to it. I just never, it was never a club I wanted to join. You know what I'm saying? I saw people do it. I would say, I could do that. I could totally do that.
Right.
But I don't need to join the club.
I used to always say I want to be on that Fear Factor show because I don't even know if it's on the television anymore because I could eat anything. I could just change my mind, you know.
Fear Factor. was one of the first reality TV shows.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I loved it too.
And I loved when they had the scary things that people couldn't eat because I could do all of it.
I know, that's exactly what I'm saying.
The balls, the cow ball, the ball, the sheep balls, whatever it was, deep fried, I'd be like, give it to me. Eyeballs, give it to me. But
tarantulas?
Eating them?
Yeah.
I guess I could do it, but I think in terms of, okay, comparing that to going up on top of the building and walking across a tight wire, I'd rather eat the balls.
Oh, I know. I would eat them, but I like that fierce. I like the jumping off of a building stuff.
Oh,
too.
I do not.
As long as I have a safety harness, I'm good.
I do not like that. No.
Well, that's why I've skydived.
No, now I'm thinking
you
about. I never will.
Right.
I'm thinking about the vegetable that I would like to be outlawed.
Yeah, mine's pretty boring. Mine is a very boring answer that most people love.
What is it? You tell me first.
Broccoli.
Eek!
I don't like broccoli. The only way I've liked broccoli is my father and my sister used to make, and I'm sure my sister maybe still makes it, she called it broccoli and grease. And it was just basically sauteed garlic and tons of chopped up broccoli. And sometimes she'd put a caramelized onion in and cook a caramel, you know, caramelize an onion in it with pasta and a ton of cheese. Like my dad would just garlic, broccoli, Parmigiano Reggiano, and pasta.
Okay, and you hated that.
That is the only way I can eat broccoli.
I see.
And I haven't had it in probably at least 30 years. I could exist without broccoli on the planet.
I could definitely exist without broccoli. And I could definitely, now that I'm thinking about it, and I get to include canned vegetables too.
The question was, if you could make any vegetable against the law, which one would it be?
Canned peas.
Canned peas. You mean the little Lesueur canned peas?
No. I think we would all survive without canned peas.
Well, They're good in a pinch if you need them. Although I guess if I was in a pinch, I would go for frozen peas.
I would rather get frozen peas. And sometimes I'll put them and I'll just put them in a salad raw. Like I put them in, you know, frozen and just eat them raw.
Right.
But canned peas, I don't think anyone should ever have to eat them.
They're mushy, aren't they?
They're mushy. And actually the British put out a product that actually is called mushy peas, like M-O-O-S-H-Y, mushy. They love that. Peas, canned peas are gross, man. They're gross. Okay,
on that note, we're running out of time.
All right, when we come back, I have to talk about Misfit Market, which is an organic delivery service for veggies, and also a bean that I have discovered.
Okay.
At 55 years old, that I want to talk about.
Okay, when we come back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
We're back.
What are your beans you want to talk about?
You want to talk about lupini beans?
Lupinis? Sure. I've only had lupini beans pickled in a jar.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they're good.
I only want to talk about them because whenever I make a food discovery, at 55 years old, almost 56, and it was my vegan client that had these little bags of lupini beans, and I forget the brand. It started with a B, but they were these little bags, and I ate them, and I looked up
were they cooked or raw?
Yeah, they were cooked and pickled, I think.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they're a legume.
Yeah.
They're very, very low in carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked them up and I looked up this brand, which I can't even tell you off the top of my head. It was like these little individual sacks that you would open. They're 5 ounces each.
Okay.
And it was like $20 for 4 5-ounce packages.
And they were pickled, so there's brine in there?
Yeah, like different flavors. They had like, you know, the Italian, they had a different version. But I realized...
But I'm sorry, wait, I'm interrupting you. So is there brine in it or they're dried?
There's, okay, I have to clarify.
They're like cooked and then dried?
They're cooked, but then all the liquid is removed. In these snack packs, they were cooked and brined with flavorings. This is sort of vegan line that I first experienced. And then they were put into little snack packs. So there wasn't a lot of liquid.
Okay.
You know, they were drier, but they had been cooked through.
Gotcha.
And so when I looked it up on Amazon, I found out they were like $6 for a 5-ounce pack, or $20 for, you know, four of them.
Right.
But then I realized that Cento, is it pronounced Cento? C-E-N-T-O?
Yep, Cento. Yep.
Cento makes them. So they should be in our supermarkets, you know, our big chains anyway. And I want to start incorporating them in my diet. Although apparently, according to the stuff I read about lupini beans, you actually have to be careful. If there's a potential for a peanut allergy,
right,
you might have the same allergy with lupini beans.
Huh.
And also, if you're not used to having them, they can cause a lot of gas.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
So if you're going to indulge in like the snack packs, or you buy a jar of Cento's, don't have a ton of them at once. Kind of like crushed red pepper. Yeah, there's the jar.
So
but
if
I never bought them. I've never bought them, Laura.
But this jar of them, because I think my mom used to buy these. These are not pickled, are they? They're like in water. They're not in vinegar.
Right. I think the Cento brand is just cooked beans. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
If you want to pickle them, you just, you know, but I want to do it because they're delicious. I'm telling you, this little snack bag that I was, you know, eating from. And then I looked at the carb content and I was like, oh man, this is a low carb snack that I've never seen.
Cool.
And then I started to look at different recipes online. And there was things like lupini bean salad. There was lupini bean hummus. So you could make a hummus out of this thing, which is low carb.
Yum.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the ones I've eaten are in a jar like this, but they're pickled. They're like in vinegar. They're pickled.
I would prefer, if I could get a decent brand where it's pickled already, I would love that.
Those are the ones that I buy in the Italian market in Princeton.
And they're high in protein. They're low in fat.
All right, I'll get some the next time I'm around.
So when I was looking into this lupini bean thing, I looked into a recipe for hummus using lupini beans. Now, yeah, it's a typical recipe for hummus. You know, you cook the beans. I don't even know how to get fresh lupini beans and cook them from scratch. That's another story. But so they take these cooked lupini beans and they mix them with the typical, you know, garlic and lemon and olive oil. But they also added an ingredient that I have never heard of before. And it's called, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Umeboshi. Have you heard of this?
What's the first syllable?
Umeboshi. Umeboshi.
I do not know that word.
Okay. So apparently there's a umeboshi paste, which is made from, it's a Japanese thing, and it's made from pickled umi fruits.
Mm-hmm.
They're a cross between an apricot and a plum.
Yeah.
And apparently this paste, it's salty and sour, and it's an ingredient. So I was just, you know, whenever I find something that I've never used before, I'm just like, all right, I gotta get that.
Check it out. Right.
So it's made from
sounds delicious.
Yeah. So according to this recipe, which, you know, I don't always follow them, but I do when it's something new to me,
mm-hmm,
is using these lupini beans and the typical hummus ingredients, garlic, lemon juice, olive oil, salt. Yep. Actually, with this ingredient, you don't need as much salt because apparently the umeboshi
is salty.
Okay. And it's salty and sour. So
it sounds interesting though, because it's the fruit. It's a paste of fruit. So it's got a sweetness and a saltiness to it.
And I think it's ultimately sour.
Okay.
I think the paste is ultimately sour, even though they start out with a sweet. I think it's an ultimately sour paste. So anyway, I'm thrilled to
that
have
sounds
discovered
interesting.
You lupini beans and umeboshi.
All right. I have to try to look for that. Where did you buy the umeboshi yet?
No.
They'll have it in the Asian market, you think?
I don't know. I'm going to look
at check it out.
I discovered it at 3:45 or 3:55 before the show. So now I'm going to look and
try to find it.
You know,
right.
It's something that I've never had. And the other thing that, and there were also other recipes with the Udini beans and asparagus salad. Like I just can't wait to get them and incorporate them in my salads and not feel like I'm loading up with carbs, because I've had them as a snack and they're amazing.
Right.
What
was the grams of carbs in it? Like versus a cannelli bean or a fava bean or a,
I can't even tell you. I wish I had that specifically, but I'm going to guess that it was like for every ounce of lupini beans, there was like 1 gram of carbs compared to, it was tiny.
Wow.
Tiny compared to other beans.
That's interesting. I'm going to have
to buy
a jar.
I'm going to get them, definitely.
Yeah. The other, I wonder why, because it's a legume.
I know.
Just like any other bean.
I know. I was telling you, I was
starch component.
I was fascinated. Like, how are they so low in carb? And there's actually, you have to, you know, as I said, with gas and stuff like that, you have to be careful how much of them you eat. And I think there's other components, you know, in terms of the phytonutrients and stuff in the bean that you have to be careful with. Like, you don't want to sit down and eat a giant bowl of them if you've never had them before.
Yeah, I think the first time I ate them was, I pretty much ate a whole jar of them in my mother's kitchen.
Right, and you probably had cramps all night or something. You know?
Yeah. I don't remember the gastrointestinal distress, but I'm sure if I usually snack on something, I usually go hard. I'm not just having a couple.
Right.
It was not a memorable occasion, so I'm guessing it was not terrible.
Right. Now, what about, can we talk about Misfits Market?
Yeah, please.
So I came across on Facebook, I don't know why, but you know how they feed you ads when you search for things, you know, I was probably searching.
Oh, those targeted ads.
Oh my goodness. So I'm searching probably for lupini beans, and all of a sudden these ads on Facebook come up for Misfits Market.
Okay.
And it's apparently like a subscription that you get for organic vegetables that are delivered to your house twice a month.
Huh.
And they are supposedly 25 to 50% less than they would cost you at the grocery store.
Interesting.
So I immediately lit up, because I would love to be more organic than I am. I don't do it because I can't afford it. Frankly, I get certain things organic and try, but every single ingredient would take my, you know, $400 to $500 grocery bill to $800. And I'm just not ready to do that.
Right.
So Misfits is about vegetables that are basically rejected from grocery stores. And it's not because they're rotten.
Right.
They might be misshapen. They might be, you know, and there's a lot of grocery stores that actually, I think, thankfully in recent years, this is becoming a thing of the past. But, you know, grocery stores have been notorious for just rejecting anything that doesn't look perfect.
Right.
And a lot of times that stuff would go in, believe it or not, in the garbage.
I know it. And I think that's why Trader Joe's has such a great, you know, Trader Joe's has those stores where they sell items that are a little bit past their date, a little bit bruised, a little bit, you know, misshapen, just what you're talking about. So they're the first big chain that I know of that does that on a regular basis. So, so you're saying they're organic and you're getting them twice a month. So living in the Northeast prompts the question, where are these vegetables coming from?
I don't know, but I'm sure they're coming from all over. I would imagine they're getting them shipped just like every other They're probably getting them from, they're not getting them directly from the supplier. They're that's a really good question. I don't know whether they're going to the grocery stores and getting them from each individual store, or they go into the, you know, direct. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to do it, but then it's like you get whatever you get. So if you get a $22 box, which is like the cheapest box that you can get, and it's the cheapest thing is you can do the $22 box twice a month.
Okay.
Or you can do like a $45 box or whatever, but you don't get to specify what you get. So you get potatoes, you get fruit, you get kale.
Do they tell you how many types of, like how many items are in the box?
No, it's, the website is very unclear. You know, it's kind of like, you know, try it out and see if you like it, kind of thing. And so I'm thinking of doing it, but I don't want to be left with, you know, mangoes that are rotting or apples that are rotting because we don't eat them.
Well, then you have to get creative and you have to do something with it and freeze it.
Well, yeah. I know how to get creative, but there's some stuff that I just don't eat. Even Don, he doesn't do low carb. I do. But he doesn't really like fruit that much. Like he has some banana, you know.
Right.
He's not really big into apples or mangoes. If I made a mango salsa and I put it on top of a piece of salmon, he will eat it. But he's not the kind of guy who's going to pick up an apple and eat it. So
that's what I'm saying. So if you get a batch that has apples in it, you peel, chop up, and freeze, you know, cook in some way the apples and then freeze them. And then at a later time, you can put them, incorporate them into something else.
Or
if you're trying to preserve them.
Or give them to Laura.
Or give them to Laura because she eats everything. And I'll give you, and if I do it too, I'll give you
my broccoli.
I'll give you my broccoli.
I'll take it. I don't love broccoli, but
I will take your zucchini. I will take your, that's my favorite, a zucchini.
I love zucchini too.
Zucchini is totally my favorite veg. Love.
Okay.
Although I love everything. I love kale. I love cauliflower. I love, you know, I like everything, but zucchini's my favorite.
Zucchini, my favorites are zucchini, eggplant.
Mushrooms.
Artichokes, mushrooms, Brussels sprouts, kale,
spinach, collard greens.
Yeah, my green vegetables I love, but you're right. Out of all the green veggies, asparagus is another one. Out of all the green veggies, broccoli is my least favorite.
Yeah, it's boring. I know you can zip it up in certain ways. I just have a, for some reason, I'm not a fan.
Well, but you know what I did recently, because I've been doing these pulverized batches of raw vegetables for my lunches. And I put in a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, toasted pumpkin seeds. Mm-hmm. And then I don't add the lemon juice until I'm ready to eat it. So I'm ready to eat it. And I put it all in the Cuisinart. So it's like this pulverized.
And I can't believe it, but we're out of time. Look at that. Another show in the books. And we'll talk to you next time.